God has never failed. We've asked, He's answered. See, it's all regarding us, how we respond in the situation we're in. We trust God. Many people will say, I know Pastor Dan was talking about other avenues, but many people will say, well, God's not answering. Well, Scripture tells us that if we call upon Him, He will answer us. My God's not a liar. And so He's answered. And I believe that the reality of the beginning stage of end times where the Holy Spirit, we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit today and the next 5 or 6 weeks. But I believe that the movement that the Holy Spirit is doing, and I can show you in Scripture, and basically I will in this series, that God is pouring out on all flesh. There's an opposite of that. The enemy hates that. See, because the enemy sees the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Because we don't talk about the Holy Spirit a lot, we don't understand the Holy Spirit a lot, we don't recognize when He moves. I'm standing down there, and I'm holding on for dear life because the Holy Spirit is moving mightily. And I'm going to help you. I'm going to show you God the Holy Spirit. But the move is when the body of Christ recognizes the Holy Spirit and begins to move in a realm of authority, not the realm of help. Even though we're going to find out that 5 times in the Bible, Holy Spirit is our helper. We're going to read Scripture very quickly, show us 4 times where it says He's our helper. So bottom line, He's been sent to help. So my statement to you, according to my study, is that instead of help, we receive what He's promised, and then we begin to walk in the authority of that move. In spite of what's going on. So in this, we're going to learn a lot. We're going to pause at times, and we will just pray. We'll just take that authority in this series. We'll begin to move. I'll show you how, biblically, and we'll experience that. And can we do that for the next couple months as a church family? Can we experience moving in the authority of God, the Holy Spirit? But we're going to pray and we're going to take authority over something today. It was told to me, and I was reminded that the AB 495 is being voted on. And bottom line, without going through the whole what I've read about it, its bottom line is trying to take away parental authority and to make children, our children, the state's children. No way. No way. I will battle that. If all of you disagree with me, I will battle that in the spirit realm. And guess what? I will win. Amen. Amen. Now, let me explain this to you. Is the reality is, of course, in our Constitution and in our governance, we have the separation of the church and state, right? Most people don't understand that. I'm going to preach the word. I'm not going to preach that. But let me just give you a simple explanation that I've said before. politics, our government, is stated of what its responsibility is. God tells the church what our responsibility is. We pray for those over us in governance. But when governance or those over or a few of them step into the spiritual, we say, no. You have given us the right to move into that realm because you've moved into the church. See, our constitution, everything is based upon biblical principles. When they step out, and I'm telling you, they're stepping out. Okay? Now I know what's behind that. Satan. Demonically influenced people. Let me just share with you, and then I'll pray. We'll go on. Because I don't say much. But when I say it, it's real. Okay? I don't say much of the politics. But if you know me personally outside, I get involved. I'm at council meetings. I am on conversations with council women, council men, people that are in authority in our government. But here's the reality. They're moving into the spiritual. So we will rebuke that. How we rebuke that, we don't rebuke man. We rebuke the spiritual that's behind it. Because it's all spiritual. And we will come against that. Now I know some of you, because you're very involved with stuff, and your emotions are, you need to say or whatever. Just hear me out. All right? Do not let the physical, where they go into the spiritual, they have no understanding what they're doing. Do not let that make you an extreme person to where you don't do the work of the ministry. Let's do the work of the ministry. Be involved. Get in government. Do everything you can. Be in those meetings. Be a councilman, a councilwoman. Be a mayor. We have that here. Be a governor. Be a president. Get involved. But always understand the background is your spiritual authority. I love it. Some of you are so involved in stuff, and you're good. You're spiritual. Man, you are breaking down walls. You are breaking chains with the authority you have. And we're going to do that. We're going to come against the enemy. What I was going to tell you is this. I'm asking you, when you see stuff or you're in meetings, look at the eyes of those people. Look at the eyes of those people. You will see God in those eyes, or you'll see demonic influenced. I've been seeing a lot of that demonic influence on TV and the upper echelon and even in our city governance. And I'm going to come against it in Jesus' name. Will you agree with me, and will you allow and avail me to do that? Because remember, I'm doing the spiritual thing as a pastor. They've moved into the spiritual. They've moved into our place. Don't mess with our kids. Amen? Amen. In Jesus' name, we stand in agreement, not out of anger, not out of extreme theology, but for the love of the United States of America and for the foundational principles that we are founded upon. And in Jesus' name, I come against you, Satan. You have moved in decades in our school systems. You have moved in our government systems. And you have tried to bring things into these systems that would bring your will, not God's will. And we come against you in Jesus' name. We rebuke you and we say, stop and desist right now in Jesus' name. Leave our children alone. And now we pray for those over our government. Holy Spirit, move in the loving way that you do. Move in the mighty way that you do. And even move in the way that people have literally been stopped in their tracks because they have gone against the will of God. And I pray for everybody involved in politics that the Holy Spirit will pour out on all flesh, will pour out on them and bring wisdom and insight and understanding and revelation of what's happening in the spiritual, that they will back up and honor the spiritual and do the work of a politician in the correct way. And I thank you, Lord, for that. And I set a line now in faith that if the politics want to go into the spiritual, they run into that wall. And no longer do they have power and authority over that. We come against that authority in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Give the Lord an applause. Amen. All right, you may be seated. Thank you, worship team. I'm telling you what, we have the best. I love that. They may not be on TV yet, but we have the best. And they're moving into prophetic writing and all of that, and we're going to experience that the next few years. But since we went into the political and the church, why don't I just read you something I thought was pretty funny. A man stranded on an island for 5 years was finally rescued one day. The man rescuing him noticed he had built 3 huts. He asked him what they were for. Well, the man said, one was my house and one was my church. And the rescuer said, okay, that makes sense, but what about the 3rd hut? And the man replied, that was the church I used to go to before I changed denominations. It takes one person to get confused about things, but you know, it's pretty hilarious how in the world you have politics, and these politics can move into the church, and we need to allow ourselves and avail ourselves to see the reality of what truth really is, and that the faithfulness to God's call is real, and why I believe that there's a lot of confusion is because there's confusion about the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. There's confusion about the Holy Spirit. So we're going to spend some time, and we're going to learn about the God that maybe we never knew. So in this series, we're going to read from John chapter 14, through 16. How many of you remember quite a few years ago we did a series on the Holy Spirit? We used the scripture, but we're going to go a little bit deeper in this, and we're going to find out some things that we need to recognize and really turn some things around as we walk in the anointing of the Holy Spirit. See, most theologians believe the time frame of chapters 14 through 16 is between 12 to 15 hours before Jesus was crucified. In chapter 14, Jesus is in an upper room, not the Pentecost upper room, but he was in an upper room with his disciples, and that was called the Last Supper. So John 14, 31, Jesus says this, "Arise, let us go up from here." So guys, come on. Okay, we're done with this. Let's go somewhere else. So they left this upper room and they journeyed, according to Scripture, to the Mount of Olives. In chapter 15, most theologians, I do too, state that Jesus enters the garden when he says, "I am the vine, you are the branches." Because Jesus uses a lot of visual in his teaching. So, but let me give you the main context of this whole series and the scripture we're going to read. What Jesus is saying is, "I am going away." Can you imagine them? With all that's going on, all the fears and all the thoughts and all the experiences they experienced with Jesus, he's saying, "I'm going away." And then he says, probably noticing their faces, "But don't be troubled. Don't be troubled. Because I am going to send you someone else." And when he literally said, "I'm going to send you somebody else," he's talking about the Holy Spirit. In John 14, 16 and 17, he says this, "And I will pray the Father." Interesting, he didn't pray to the Father. He said, "I will pray the Father." I'm going to explain that in a moment. In the Greek, this isn't the typical word for pray. Most of the time, it's translated ask. So it literally says, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper." All right, there it is. Notice the word helper, very important. "That he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. For he dwells with you, and now," I added the word "now," "will be in you." See, before, the Holy Spirit came upon certain people, and they led the people. But now, something different was going to take place, and that's why he said, "I am going away. It's important I go away so that this can manifest in your life." You have, when you're born again, you receive a helper. You receive God. This helper is God. We'll show you this in this series. So I underline him and he is because the Bible never refers to the Holy Spirit as it or a thing. Because he is a person. And again, as the last series, relationship. We have to know, accept, and learn who the Holy Spirit, so we can relate with the Holy Spirit, who has been given for many things, but today I want to point to help you. You are never alone. The word says, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." Because if you don't see him as a personal being or a person, then you won't develop a relationship that is personal. There it is again. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. Verse 25 of John 14. "These things I have spoken to you while being present with you." Basically, I've taught you many things. But, verse 26, "the Helper," Second time the word helper is used. The Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. Now notice the next statement in this verse. He will teach you all things. That's amazing. They've been with Jesus. And he says, they will teach you all things and bring to you or bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. He'll teach you all things and then bring everything that I've said back to you. Chapter 15, verse 26 of John. But when the helper comes, the third time that's brought, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. In essence, he will tell you me. He will reveal me to you. We're going to find out why, because of one of the aspects of what the Holy Spirit does for us and in us. Now, John chapter 16, verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. In other words, it will be hard to believe what I'm about to tell you. So understand, this is truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper, the fourth time that's stated, will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. Now follow me in chapter 16. We'll probably go to verse 12 first, and then we'll go back. John 16, verse 12. I still have many things to say to you. Think about this. Jesus says, I have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear to hear them now. However, everyone say, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he, the person of the Holy Spirit, will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. So notice this, the word helper is in the Bible five times, and we read four of them. So let's look at the word helper. You have heard Pastor Dan, you've heard me at times, you've heard Pastor Ryan bring out this word. It's called parakletos, but the English word is paraclete. So what that means is para means alongside, kletos means to come, or it means to come alongside. Jesus said, I'm going to send you someone that's going to come alongside you and help you. And when we read stuff like that, we think, oh, okay, well, you have God the Father, God the Son, then you have this guy. And so we're very attuned to God the Father and Jesus, but we're not as attuned to the Holy Spirit. And I'll touch this a little bit more later on, because a lot of people who talk about the Holy Spirit are weird. And we think anything to do with the Holy Spirit is weird. You know those kind of people. The word helper can be translated helper, consoler, intercessor, advocate. In 1 John, it's translated an advocate, and the old King James translates the word as comforter. So the question, then, I'm bringing to you in the introduction here, how many Christians have a comforter that is in your house but is not to be used? But you're to look at it and it's be beautiful. See, I've shared this illustration before, but my house has many things, and those things have voices. I walk by close to those things, and I hear voices, "Don't you touch me." And we all have that. Of course we do. Beautifies our house. But we have to recognize those towels, those comforters, all those things we're not to touch. But please know, listen closely, the Holy Spirit is for use. So if you walk by the Holy Spirit, He says, "You can touch me. You can use me. Grab a hold of me. Walk with me. Hold my hand." Because the Holy Spirit was given for us to use. He wasn't given for looks. He wants to empower and enable us for life because that's what he's supposed to do. So I'm going to give you three things about the Holy Spirit to start today. And then we're going to dig deeper. We're going to talk about gifts. We're going to talk about many different aspects of the Holy Spirit that sometimes we're uncomfortable with. That it's weird. I mean, you go places and you see things and you go to a church, and all of a sudden, someone jumps up in the congregation, and they start speaking in this weird language. And then someone over here starts shouting and says another in English. And then the pastor gets up, and he adds to it. And we think, what happened here? It's the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit uses people's personalities. And some personalities are a little peculiar. But that doesn't take away from who he is and what he does. Now, we are a church that is far more experienced and or use the Holy Spirit. It's not just a decoration. And the Holy Spirit is used and moves in our house. But I'm trying to help all of us to get on the same page. So here's my first point. The Holy Spirit is my helper. He helps me. He helps me in what I say. Someone will ask you to pray. And you begin to pray. And all of a sudden you quote a scripture. And after you say amen, the person goes, "Wow, this morning I read that very scripture. How did that happen?" And of course, you stand there and say, "I'm good." No, you don't do that. What do you say? "The Holy Spirit led me to that scripture." That's what he does. He helps you. So let's go on with that. The Holy Spirit helps you what not to say. Also, there are times that I'm involved in a ministry and I can go to one place and the Holy Spirit says, "Share this." I'll go to another place and the Holy Spirit says, "Nope, don't share it." Was it because what I shared here was wrong or too strong? No, the Holy Spirit helped me to be able to minister to the congregation that I was speaking to. And we have to recognize that a lot of times, people in witnessing, in next year, I'm going to do a series, a four-part series of how to witness, how to share our testimony, bottom line, share our story. And that's how you witness, is by sharing the story of what God did for you. And so the realm of being filled with the Spirit or anointed of the Holy Spirit or being led of the Holy Spirit is not some weird thing. It's not some, ooh, God really moved. Well, God moved when you walked in here. God moved in your life when you walked in. You made a faith statement to walk in here and to hear the word and to worship and to love one another and to encourage one another. You were led of the Holy Spirit. But we don't recognize that because it's like, it's what we do. I'm a Christian. It's what I do. No, it's what you've become. And now, if we really understand the third part of the Trinity, that we are led in everything that we do. All right, follow me. Let's go on. He's our helper. I'm going to show you how we have misunderstood the Holy Spirit also in using John 16. The Holy Spirit has gotten a bad rap in the church. And I'm going to show you this because this is where our thoughts go. And I want you to understand that the Holy Spirit is so amazing. We're going to find out our third point. He's God. But he's so amazing that we, in our human realm, we take some of the things that he does and we take it as a negative thing of what he does. And that's why we have a tendency to God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Oh, that's that Pentecostal church down the street. All right, so let's look at this. Are you with me? John 16:8. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin, see, bad, and of righteousness, and of judgment. All three of those, when we hear that, we think it's a negative thing. In other words, he's come to fix people. He's come to just slap them around and try to figure out what he can do to make people better people and make people, as I would say, gooder. And that's not what it is. When you recognize what he does for you, then you will do good things. He, the Holy Spirit, will convict the whole world. We're in this world. Of three things, sin, righteousness, and judgment. And again, many see this in a negative aspect or it's negative content, and he is helping you to straighten out your life. Well, yes, in all this he does, but if we see it properly, then we're going to want to relate with the Holy Spirit. We're going to want to spend time with the Holy Spirit as we do with the Father, as we do with the Son. And we're going to want to spend more time with the Holy Spirit because he's here in us. The next three verses explain each one, but they begin with the word because. Right? Notice that. And because helps us understand the process of it. Verse 9, of sin, excuse me, because they do not believe in me. So why does the Holy Spirit convict you of sin? Because you're a bad person and you got to change. No, because if you don't understand or believe that you need a Savior, you won't accept a Savior. Because remember, he's going to reveal Christ. Jesus says, the Father's given this to you so he could reveal you me. What's being revealed? Salvation. Victory over sin. All right? So the reason Jesus says, you know, bottom line, we have to get to that place that we understand his first, really, if you want to look at it, priority is to show you Jesus. What I remember most when I confessed Jesus as Lord many years ago is the conviction that I felt, not the condemnation. That was the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12:3 says, no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit's job to lead us to Jesus. He convicts us so that we will believe in Jesus. So here's the next thing. In John 16, verse 10, it says, of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. So he says, the reason you won't see me is I will be at the right hand of the Father making intercession for you. Now, got to understand this. He's talking to these guys, and they love Jesus. They've made mistakes, and Jesus has loved them. He's rebuked them. He's done all the life stuff that we all face. And they're just so into what's going on because of the relationship. And he says, I'm going to leave you, but don't worry about it. I'm going to be on the right hand of the Father making intercession for you. They've watched him pray. They're going to the garden, all right? And they've watched him pray. Can you not tarry 1 hour? You know, all the different, you know, books that we read, all the things about prayer. And the reality is what's going on here, church family. 1 Corinthians 12:3 says, no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. He convicts us. Then the Holy Spirit will show us righteousness. Because Jesus has gone to the cross, he was crucified, rose again, and then he went up into heaven, sitting on the right hand of the Father. It is finished, all is done, and now the next thing is he's going to reveal righteousness to you. Now I'm going to say something to you. People that don't understand what I'm about to tell you have relationship with Father God and Jesus, and they don't have relationship with the Holy Spirit. That's why they don't know this, what I'm about to tell you. All right, so listen very closely. Jesus will be interceding to bring us back to the Father, to bring us to the Father. But the Holy Spirit will convict you of righteousness, not of right living. The righteousness that will be revealed to you by the Holy Spirit is not right living. Now, let me just say it to you, is that is part of it, but true right living can't happen until we understand and have revelation of what he's revealing about righteousness. Follow this. He does not convict us of righteous living because verse 10 isn't talking about that. The Holy Spirit wants to convict you of because of Jesus being born again, salvation, you now have right standing with God. You say, well, yeah, I kind of, that should have just like went in you. Because right standing, understanding the revelation of right standing with God, having that relationship with the Holy Spirit, every single day, that conviction, we're going to see what conviction means, that conviction brings you of understanding of the truth that I am in right standing with God. Sin no longer has a hold on my life. Amen. But because we don't understand the Holy Spirit, we don't relate to the Holy Spirit, I'm not saying that's something bad that you chose to do something. I'm just saying, because where do you hear teachings like this about the Holy Spirit? Where do you read books? Where do you find books? You can find them. Matter of fact, I got about 8 of them about the Holy Spirit. But it's because our relationship with God is Father God and Jesus the Son. But it's the Holy Spirit that convicts us of these things, that we can stand in a positive light, is I am saved. There's no doubt, there's no question that I'm going to heaven. Even though at times I fail, because 1 John 1:9 says that I can confess that sin when I do sin. But see, the power of the cross, we're going to get into that too, is we have to recognize that Father God gave us the Holy Spirit to reveal to us the truth about it is finished, what Jesus did. So you're not running around feeling condemned because you've messed up once in a while, or you're not running around feeling condemned because you're having struggle here or struggle there. You understand that you have right standing with God, and you have an ability to go right in the throne room of God because of that right standing in your prayer. Most people pray, Father, if you hear me. I pray, good morning, Lord. How are you today? He's a person. Why not talk to him like a person? I honor him as God. I know who he is. But there's a relationship with there. And knowing that I have right standing with God because of the work of Jesus, because the Holy Spirit reveals to me that conviction of right standing with God because of the work of Jesus. You know what? One of the books I read said that 35% of the church really understands right standing with God. And the other 65% fight condemnation all the time. And I'm trying to break this today. Let's have breakthrough. Have you confessed Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? You believe that? Amen? Are you perfect? Okay. Do you have right standing with God? Why? Because the Holy Spirit told you the truth. And we're not listening to the lie anymore. Okay, time, clock, stop. I got to go on. Well, let me show you this. Another word for convict is to convince. When you're convicted, you're convinced. Conviction brings a person who's convinced. The Holy Spirit wants to convince you because you have believed in Jesus, you are now in right standing with God. Not because you're good. Oh, you've done gooder things. Amen. It's because Jesus did the work, and he said it is finished. So he convinces us of sin, so we believe Jesus as Lord and Savior. Once we believe, now we are to be convinced that we have, because of Jesus, right standing with God. John 16:11 says, of judgment, the third, because the ruler of this world is judged. This is exciting. So at this time, the ruler of this world was Satan. Why do we know that? Because John 12:31 says, now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. So when Jesus Christ said it is finished, rose from the dead, then the ruler of this world no longer had that authority. The authority was given to you. John 14:30, I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me. This talks of Satan. He is about to be dethroned. Jesus said, I'm going to take away his authority. I'm going to strip him and make a public show of him and take dominion back and give it to the church. So the scripture again says, the Holy Spirit is coming to convict you of sin, righteousness, and judgment. But here's our misconceptions of the three. He is coming to convict you that you are a sinner and you just need to, and you're not living right. You're not good. And then Satan's going to get you. It's not true. That's all the opposite of what truth is. So let me tell you this. You are born again. You have become a son or daughter of God. And now you can go to the throne room of God in your prayer. Because why? You have right standing with God because of the blood of Jesus Christ. And then third, when the enemy comes in like a flood, God raises up a standard. And you have the authority. And you tell the devil, get his, whatever you want to say, out of there. Amen? That's what the Holy Spirit's job is, to do those things for you and for me. Let's go to point two. He is my friend, and this is what I want to touch on a little bit more. He's not weird. And you know why I know that? Because he's my friend. Now, we've seen people talk about the Holy Spirit, and they're weird. And sometimes they act weird. So let me give you a clue. Those people that are weird with the Holy Spirit would be weird without the Holy Spirit. It's just their personality. It's not a representation of who the Holy Spirit is. I can remember a time, and you know what? The guy was very spiritual. In a church that I went to when I first came out here, he would just jump up in the middle of the service and start giving a message in tongues, which I think is great with interpretation. It would be interpreted, all right? But when he did it, he shouted at the top of his lungs. My first day in that church, I was sitting here, and right behind me was him. And I can't tell you what I almost did after he shouted. Okay, your mind's not going there. But anyways, the reality is, man, I thought that was weird. I left that church thinking, oh, dude. But then there was something I went to. He was there, and I was talking to him, and he was fine. But when he got with the Holy Spirit, he just started screaming. And he scared the wits out of half the congregation every time. Now, is that wrong? I'm just saying, with me, that's a little weird. But it was powerful. It was the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit used his personality. So don't base people's personality on who the Holy Spirit is. So that's my point. Because you and I, every one of us, have experienced people that are a little bit peculiar in the area with the Holy Spirit. You know, there's a poll out that says 1 in 3 people are weird. So turn to the person next to you left. They're not weird. Turn to the person to the right. They're not weird. I guess you're weird. So so the conclusion, you can be a normal person and believe in the person and the power of the Holy Spirit. Don't try to make him something that he's not. And another question, who do you think has made us afraid of the Holy Spirit? Satan has. You know why he does that? Because when the first church received the Holy Spirit, they healed the sick, they cast demons out, and thousands were born again. They raised the dead. Matter of fact, Acts 17:6 says, but when they did not find them, they dragged Jason and some brethren to the rulers of the city, crying out, "These who have turned the world upside down have come here too." Those Holy Spirit weird people have come here. Ooh. But they said the truth. They turned the world upside down. And that's what happened. So they did that by the power of the Holy Spirit, the revelation of who he is. And Satan tried to confuse it. In the 1900s, early 1900s, he got everybody's focus on one gift. It happened in the early 1900s and around the 60s and 70s. So it seems like every 50 to 70 years, he tries to make it all weird. And we're talking about tongues and, you know, that weird thing and that weirdo people. And he did that because he knows, I get emotional here, if you begin to relate with the Holy Spirit, people will get born again that you're around. If you relate and begin to push to relate with the Holy Spirit, people will become healed. Like Smith Wigglesworth, his shadow would fall on people and they'd fall and repent. It wasn't because there was anything that he did. Yeah, he did weird stuff too. Someone had cancer, he punched them in the stomach. Today, I'd be sued for $1 million. But the reality is when you relate with the Holy Spirit like I'm talking about, and I'm going to teach you, things will change in every area of your life. Because that's why what he was given for. But again, because it's uncomfortable. Now, I call it the benefit of the Holy Spirit because of time. I'm going to say some things next week. But let me list some evidences or benefits of the Holy Spirit. Power. And when we hear the word power, we think of power against the Holy Spirit. True. I'm sorry, against Satan. But it's specifically that power is for witnessing, leading people to Christ. Love, 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 12 through and 14 speaks of the gifts. The fruit of the Spirit is a benefit. In other words, our lives do change because of the fruit of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit. Where you have tongues and interpretation and all the vocal gifts and workings of miracles and all of these. And we'll talk about these. So the Holy Spirit gives power, love, the fruit of the Spirit, and gifts. Here's the third point, and I'll close with this. The Holy Spirit is my God. So because we've been taught negatively of the Holy Spirit, when I say the Holy Spirit is my God, we struggle with that because that sounds weird. When I say we need to relate to the Holy Spirit, that sounds weird because we relate with the Father and the Son. If anyone struggles with the Holy Spirit being God, I want to tell you something is terribly wrong in their belief system. John 14, 16 says, "And I," that's Jesus, "will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper," that's the Holy Spirit, the three. John 14, 26, "But the helper," the Holy Spirit, "whom the Father will send in my name," that's Jesus. John 15, 26, "But when the helper," the Holy Spirit, "comes, whom I," Jesus, "shall send to you from the Father." All three. And they're God. So the next scripture where the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit are in the same place at the same time. In other words, they're person of the Father, the person of the Son and the person of the Holy Spirit. Look at this, Luke 3:22. And the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form, like a dove. You don't see a dove, like a dove, upon Jesus. Holy Spirit, bodily form, Jesus, and a voice came from heaven which said, you are my beloved Son, in you I am well pleased. That's the Father. So you have three persons in action at the same time. The Trinity. So we have to recognize what the enemy tries to do is he tries a Trinity. I don't get that. And by the time we get to the Holy Spirit, we don't get that at all and we don't relate. And which I'm telling you, Jesus said, it is most important that I go away so that I can tell you all. You are a people can receive all. Why? Because you relate with the Holy Spirit. You see how important that is? That we recognize that he's God. So the Father glorifies and magnifies the Son. The Son only does what the Father says. The Son tells you when the Holy Spirit is coming, and the Holy Spirit leads you to Jesus. They are God. So here are two verses, and I'll close with this, that are outright prove the Holy Spirit is God. You ready for this? Acts 5:3-4. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. Why have you lied to the Holy Spirit? You didn't lie to me. You lied to the Holy Spirit, who's God. There it is, right there. All right, so the Holy Spirit intercedes through us on the earth. The Holy Spirit calls and qualifies ministers or their work. It is the Holy Spirit that makes them overseers over the flock. He hears, teaches, and guides us in all truth. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to read a passage of Scripture. I read this, I think, 4 years ago, and I thought this was pretty cool. It is a passage of Scripture that just basically it is a man writing it. That's not one of the wrote the Bible, but he writes literally what Scripture tells us about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit intercedes through us on earth. The Holy Spirit calls and qualifies ministers for their work. It is the Holy Spirit who makes them overseers over the flock. He hears, teaches, and guides us in all truth. He glorifies Christ, receives from Christ, shows us Christ, and brings all of Christ's words to our remembrance. It is better for us that Jesus left so he could come. He shows us things to come. He knows the deep things of God, searches all things, and reveals all things. Where he is, there is liberty. The writers of the Bible spoke as they were moved by him. We are warned not to grieve him or quench him. The sin against him is unpardonable because sin against him is against the only one who can reveal the Son to us. Unless the man is born of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. We are convicted by him. We are born again by him. We are led by him, filled with him, and sealed by him. Isn't that good? That's the Holy Spirit. That's who we're talking about. Let's all stand. Thank you for being patient with me as we've gone just a little over. But I want you to recognize the importance that we see this scripturally. We see this doctrinally. Because this is why the enemy, this is your main battle as a believer. Those three things. That's your main battle. The situations you have in your life, in many instances, not all, are based upon our non-ability to understand who the Holy Spirit is in our life. The reason why we say and do the things that we do that we know later we have to confess as sin is because we don't recognize the truth of the Holy Spirit and who He is. He is a lover of our souls. He is with you 24/7. Yes, we can grieve Him. But the unpardonable sin isn't that you ate two Snickers bar yesterday and you're on a diet. The unpardonable sin is the rejection of Jesus Christ. And what is the job of the Holy Spirit? To reveal to you Jesus Christ. What's the true theology of theology? If you don't confess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and you die physically, you will not be going to heaven. And you can't pay someone to pray for you to get you into heaven. It's unpardonable. That's what it is. See how when we don't understand all this, all these doctrinal truths just kind of fly away. And I'm just trying, Valley Community Church, we're a word church. We're a faith church. We're a Holy Spirit-led church. And we have to understand why the things that we do. Because it's the Holy Spirit. You have to understand why you do what you do outside the church. In your witnessing. Why do you have such a passion to help people? And it's always this. Well, I don't have any money to help them, so I guess I can't. No, no, no. That's the Holy Spirit saying, give them a word. Change your life with a word. Jesus loves you. Tell them your story. The good things that God did for you. See, a lot of times people say, witness, well, yeah, I was a drug addict too. Now, all those testimonies are great. But you know what our story is? Is I was here and the Holy Spirit, Jesus, did this for me. He died for me. I was in your place. I was divorced. I was this. I was that. Oh, by the way, I'm not divorced. It's online. People say, oh, that pastor over there was divorced. I can't go to that church. Sorry. You have to be careful, don't you? But the reality is you are a son or a daughter of God. And what you desire to do, let it be bathed with who you know the Holy Spirit is. And I promise you, every area of your life will change. In Jesus' name, Father, I thank you. You're the creator of time, but sometimes I don't like time. But in Jesus' name, I release the revelation of this word over this house, over this congregation, over everyone that is standing here and listening online. The many that are listening online, rise up and recognize the positive aspect of the three and begin to walk in confidence. Be convinced that you're saved, that you're in right standing with God, and you have authority over the enemy, and you can do the things that God has called you to do, and you can have victory in every area. And I give you praise for that. In Jesus' name. Amen. We've run out of time. God bless you. Have a great afternoon. See you tonight at 6 o'clock.